You are Locked On Cardinals, your daily Arizona Cardinals podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And just like that, the Arizona Cardinals are playing in back-to-back primetime games. It's Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. The Arizona Cardinals have been flexed to Sunday night, a different flex than what we're used to seeing. It's Bo Brock and Alex Clancy. It's Locked On Cardinals. Follow the podcast at Locked On AZ Cards. Follow myself at Bob Brack. Follow Alex at Clancy's Corner so he can defend to the death John Travolta action movies. No, not John Travolta musicals or dramas or, you know, I mean, I would even subscribe to Phenomenon. I think that that's a great flick. Yeah, obviously, you've got Pulp Fiction, but he's all about the swordfish these days.
I'm not going to love you to the end of your life. I'm going to love you till the end of mine. That was Phenomenon. Thank you very much. Listen, swordfish, it's got everything you need. Okay, you made your Twitter fame by quoting Stefan, so I can do the same thing. Okay, it's got everything. Okay, it's got computer hacking. It's got the gorgeous Halle Berry. It's got golf swings. It's got John Travolta with a soul patch, and it's got a bunch of guns and bombs. Okay, what more could you want? Seriously. And then on top of that, you have the audacity to say that he doesn't do action movies. White Man's Burden, anybody? Number one. Number two, and maybe the best of all, Face Off with him and Nicolas Cage. How dare you? I saw that movie five times in theater, five times when I was 13. And I don't, I don't regret any of the $8 tickets I spent.
That is very telling, the fact that you watched a John Travolta, Nick Cage vehicle that is just, people like it because it's so bad. Like, you know, it's a joke. Are you in on the joke or no?
No, that's based on a true story. Okay. Right? Isn't it? I'm joking.
What was the one with Howie Long? There was a movie with Travolta, and Howie Long was, I think, the lead, yeah. And Travolta was.
No. No, he was, I think he was a security guard or something. I think that was Face Off.
No. Howie Long was the lead, like, hero character in Travolta. It was like Broken Arrow. Look it up. Look, I'm not going to.
Him and Christian Slater. That's right. Very good. Another action movie that John Travolta was in. It's not all, you know, leather pants and singing like Grease, Bo.
It's all, look, our listeners, I'm glad if they're hanging on at this point. This podcast, this football season, it's different. That's because Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. You can also pop a Pepsi when you're watching a movie as well. It's a refreshment that you need to power through game day, become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Now, before we get into the lead here, I just want to tell you, we're going to get into some predictions. We're going to do our offensive and defensive players of the game, and then the Cardinals are going to add potentially a key member to their secondary on Sunday. But things have changed a little bit. After Monday night winning 38-10 on a national stage, the Arizona Cardinals will seek their third win in a row in primetime on Sunday Night Football. They'll take on the unbeaten Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson 6-1-1 when playing in Glendale at State Farm Stadium. Can this Cardinals team continue to change the narrative and beat Russ this time in the Hawks this weekend? That's your Locked On Cardinals lead story. I'm Bo Brock along with Alex Clancy. Now, Alex, let me ask you this. Do you feel like the Arizona Cardinals have earned this primetime game? I mean, given the unique circumstances.
Yes, I think that this is a 50-50 split. If you look quickly at the afternoon games that were on the slate, it was Cardinals-Seattle, Kansas City and Denver, San Francisco at Foxborough, New England, and then Jacksonville at LA. So if you were looking at maybe last year, if this case happened, you know, COVID was surrounding last year, you would think that even if Cam Newton was the quarterback of New England at the time, San Francisco and New England would have been flexed. Is that fair to say?
Yeah,
if this were last year, I think it'd be a no-brainer. San Francisco was winning, and it was the right choice going to Foxborough. This is the easy choice. This isn't a homer take, because we're not homers here. This is the obvious popcorn choice here, where the score could be in the 60s, and you have Russell Wilson, an MVP candidate, with Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins coming up. Buda Baker just off his NFC Defensive Player of the Week. This is the most enthralling matchup of the afternoon games. So I don't think this is like, oh, big brother Russell Wilson is allowing the Cardinals to play Sunday night football with him. I think this is a pure 50-50 split.
Yeah, I mean, this is old guard versus new guard. This is the polished quarterback that's playing at an MVP level. And this is the up-and-coming, you know, often compared to quarterback as well. That battle's intriguing to a national audience, especially from what they saw on Monday night. And they want to see more, I think, of Kyler Murray, and NBC probably jumped at that opportunity.
And you know what? This, yeah, again, no favors given here. This is, unfortunately, like, this is a break that would have been awesome if there were true amount of fans in the stands. There's going to be 1,200, which is an uptick. And I know the Russell Wilson's ridiculous numbers at State Farm Stadium. But don't you feel, just as a little aside here, kind of bad for the fans that have been waiting for this that now just can't go because of, you know, COVID precautions and everything? Like, this is what lifelong Cardinals fans have been waiting for. And they have to watch it from their couch.
Yeah, I mean, they got a couple seasons ago, there was a bunch of primetime games on the schedule. But yeah, to mm-hmm. finally kind of get Kyler, Cliff, after all the losing, this game, it would have been very cool to check it out live from State Farm Stadium. Now, as far as the game goes, I mean, the Arizona Cardinals right now, as we record this podcast, 3.5-point underdogs. We've talked about the stats as far as Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll since 2012, 6-1-1. It seems like the Arizona Cardinals are going up against this juggernaut. While the Seahawks unscathed, I see Russell Wilson as elite, a lot of, you know, marquee names on that defense, but I don't think that they're unbeatable.
It'll be interesting because it'll be interesting to see where this line moves. I think that it would move more towards Seattle giving an extra 0.5 point, moving it more towards 4 than down to 3. I mean, you look at the Cardinals and the Cardinals aren't getting the benefit of the doubt that the Seahawks are. That's fair to say at this point, because the Seahawks beat the Cowboys with Dak. They beat the Dolphins in a high scoring affair. They just beat the Vikings. They had to come back, but they beat them. They had their bye week and they beat the Patriots and the Falcons before anybody knew that the Falcons were terrible. The Cardinals schedule is full of 11-24 combined record teams. So I agree with you that even though they look unbeatable, they aren't Seattle, but the storylines up until this point would prove otherwise. And it'll be fun to see if the Cardinals can overcome what looks to be this monumentous win for them, although it's a division opponent, they're not as great. They're not as Goliath as they look right now.
Right. I mean, if you come out, I mean, the truth is, and it's usually on most, you know, in any NFL given week, that if you come out flat, you're going to just get beat. So
right.
With that as, you know, the caveat, this Seattle team, I mean, we talk about, you know, the Cardinals and their opponents only have 11 wins on their record this season. Seattle's not that much more impressive. And you mentioned Dak and Dallas and how they handled them. And this kind of does, I think that this is playing Monday night. If Dak Prescott didn't suffer the gruesome injury, you get that veteran quarterback playing at a high level with a defense that just flat out sucks. And I mentioned there's marquee names, you know, there's the Bobby Wagner, 99 in Madden. He's actually a good player, believe it or not, for guys who watch the games. Jamal Adams looks like he'll be back in the lineup. He's their leading sack getter with 2. And then there's really not much beyond that. There's very little pressure from the Seattle defense, 9 sacks on the season. Is it Benson Mayoa? He's got 2 sacks as well. And this offense isn't as well-oiled as the numbers might suggest. I mean, the Vikings shut them out in the first half on Sunday Night Football 2 weeks ago. 0 points in the first half.
And Seattle, over the course of this great time that Russell Wilson has spent there, they've had times where they just couldn't get first downs. And a lot of it goes back to, like, this feels like Russell Wilson's back pay for the lack of offensive firepower he had to work with for several years of his time since he was drafted there. What, he's been there, this is his 8th year there. They've had bad receiving corps for probably 4 of those years. And he had to trust a lot on running backs, Marshawn Lynch, the defense, Legion of Boom, and whatever tight end he wanted to throw to that day. So when you have Russell Wilson and those weapons, yet they still just the bottom falls out of that offense from time to time. If that happens on Sunday night now, the Cardinals need to pounce. Those are the times where there's a softening in the armor, and the Cardinals need to take advantage when they're three and out, or a first down and then three and out. If this offense falls flat for Seattle, the Cardinals have to pounce. And yeah, I don't understand. And I think that game ended up covering, even though it wasn't supposed to. I think like it was all second half scoring. Seattle can score three touchdowns in a quarter, no problem. Like they have the pop that you hope that the Cardinals at some point will have. Yet sometimes it's just not there, and it's defies all kind of science when it comes to NFL and scoring, but it's there.
Yeah, it absolutely is, and I think that's a great point as far as, you know, they were completely just quiet the first half, and then next thing you know, hey, they're right back in the game. And then it took Minnesota making a boneheaded coaching decision at the end of the game to give Russ and that offense one more opportunity at it. And, you know, as legend goes, he followed through on it. The man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Unlimited, gets the job done. And, you know, Cliff Kingsbury, Vance Joseph have to be tight as far as their decision-making is concerned. And the Arizona Cardinals offense needs to keep pace with the Seattle offense as well. I just think that the Cardinals get the edge as far as their ability to play defensive football. So we'll see about it. You know, the Arizona Cardinals defense, they could be getting a big playmaker back on the back end of this defense. We'll tell you who that is and what his impact can make. Make sure you're subscribed. You're following along to the Locked On Cardinals podcast. It's Bo. It's Alex. Give us a follow on Twitter at Locked On AZ Cards, at Bob Rack for me, and at Clancy's Corner for Alex. We've got that extra gear to break through the wall. Built Go. It's making the best you possible at whatever you do, whether it's mental or physical wall. Break through with Go every day. It's easy to take 1.5 ounce packages, put it in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever. Go golfing and power through the back nine, or just put it in your pocket to get through the day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5 hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for your body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. There's three delicious flavors. There's peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein, and that collagen protein is the fast-absorbing thing that gets into your system fast, plus it's easy to stomach. Built Go's loaded with the good stuff to ignite my work. Built Go kicks in to keep me going strong. Visit BuiltGo.com, use the promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your next order using the promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Did we see where the Arizona Cardinals running back Kenyon Drake got some motherly advice as far as him hitting the hole, and it propelled him basically to a 2-touchdown, 164-yard performance? And Alex, I was actually checking out last week's game preview recently, and You'd called a big game for Kenyon Drake, and so did his mom.
Yeah, sometimes you just need motherly advice. You know, when your head coach tells you the exact same thing and you don't listen, maybe the mom will be like, go listen to your coach. Listen to your coach. He knows what's best for you.
She said, hey, son, you're going to hit some holes today.
Yeah, that's a football mom if I've ever seen one. You know, I mean, it's a trip. Like, I would have loved to see Kenyon Drake coming up, because anybody that goes to Alabama and plays running back or wide receiver, like, I'm assuming that he had offers from myriad places. And even more exciting about that is he wasn't the lead back. It's like the Felix Jones, Darren McFadden at Arkansas years ago, where Felix Jones, I remember, was averaging over 10 yards a carry, and he'd get like 8 carries a game, 90 yards, 2 touchdowns, whatever. Kenyon Drake was that explosive player at Alabama, and he had the iconic kickoff. I think it was a kickoff return for a touchdown,
yeah,
right after Clemson had scored, or it was to start the second half, or it was something like that. And you were like, this dude's special. He had the Hail Mary, the weird play at the end of the game against with the Dolphins and Patriots that ended up knocking the Patriots out of getting a bye 2 years ago. The dude has explosivity in him, and we've seen it. The 4-touchdown game, we saw the 70-yard run. He's just got to run north and south and not dipsy-doodle around like he has been to start the season. And listen, I'd be happy to flip on my take on him. And after what we saw with the Cowboys, even though that was like the 45-yard touchdown catch to DeAndre Hopkins at the end of the Jets game, turned kind of garbage time, that's what it was with the run for Kenyon Drake, the 70-yarder against the Cowboys. But I would love to see this continue, because when you look at it, you look at the Cardinals' schedule, they don't play that many great defenses. maybe in part because there aren't that many great defenses in the NFL anymore. You looked at the Bills. The Bills are supposed to be this top flight defense. Look at what the Chiefs did to them. You play the Rams. They're probably the toughest defense that Cardinals going to have to play the rest of the season. They play them twice. But, I mean, I would love to see Kenyon Drake take the next step.
Kenyon Drake on that Alabama team when they won that national championship and he returned that big kickoff for a touchdown was the second leading rusher on that team behind Derrick Henry. So you kind of understand why the opportunities were few and far between for KD. I imagine, you know, obviously Mama Drake giving the advice, and I imagine you talking to your mom pre-podcast, and she makes sure, like, Kenyon Drake's going to hit the holes, that you're going to bring up John Travolta action films for each.
Yeah, she's just like, just be nice to Bo. That's what she said. Be nice to Bo.
Maybe
just
take that advice every once in a while.
You don't know the abuse that I get. I'm going to poo-poo your advice, but I love you. That's what I tell her.
Fantastic. Thank you to your mother. Let me ask you this. What, with the potential of Jalen Thompson returning to this defensive secondary that is playing pretty well since the return of Buda Baker from thumb surgery, and, you know, Deontay Thompson, I think, has played pretty well as he's filled in for their battered safety position. But Jalen Thompson returning, and a lot of people called him kind of the unsung hero of this offense or this defense and somebody to look out for in 2020, and then he suffers the injury. What can he do right off the bat if he's back in the lineup come Sunday?
We saw him be ball hawkish. We saw him in coverage kind of make his name known when people didn't really know who he was, being the compensatory pick in the draft out of Washington State. Jalen Thompson needs to just be the backup singer to Buda Baker. They need to, if Jalen Thompson is going to be the guy alongside Buda Baker, those stakes have risen. The talent level has risen. And we see the Buda Baker has placed himself in the upper echelon of safeties in the NFL. Jalen Thompson, if you want to play this game now, you're going to need to be the backup vocalist to Buda Baker. And it's going to be tougher than it's ever been. So whatever that is, whatever complementary actions he needs to take to facilitate that around the world that is Buda Baker being the leader of this defense now, he's got to do. And I think he's well-equipped. We saw mid to late of last season started to show signs that he could be a guy that the Cardinals could rely upon over the top. And if he's going to continue that, he's going to be under a much bigger shadow of Buda Baker than he was before. And I'd love to see it. I mean, any young talent that the Cardinals have on the defensive side that can act in a way that shows leadership and just performance on the field, that's something the Cardinals have been yearning for on the defensive side over the last couple seasons.
It's going to be interesting to see how he's re-implemented into this defense, but I think that it's a slight boost compared to Deontay Thompson, despite, you know, how well I think that he's improved from his rookie season. But can Jalen Thompson, I think what's going to be important, especially Sunday, is if anything is for real from what we saw Monday night from this defense, you know, Drake Kirkpatrick adding kind of that edge, and Patrick Peterson, I mean, we didn't even really have to call his name because, you know, he had a pretty quiet, good game for the Arizona Cardinals. This defense balled out. If Jalen Thompson could just fit in, that's all you need, right? If he can just start to kind of pick up on the vibe that's been set by this defense, and, you know, which I think after it's just 1 week, but if they can continue to be more opportunistic and he can be, you know, what you get from Buda Baker potentially coming off the edge and blitzing and stuff like that and being the tackling machine he can be, if Jalen Thompson can be kind of his yin to Buda Baker's yang and be kind of the coverage safety, I think he would take that.
Sure, and I meant supplemental draft, not compensatory draft. I'm not exactly sure what I said, supplemental draft. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is all we're learning day by day or game by game what this defense is going to look like for the future, because we really don't know. I mean, at this point, unless Steve Keim goes full Steve Keim and gives Patrick Peterson $40 million, which I don't expect him to do, you're going to need to look for new leaders on this defense. And Jordan Hicks, although he's a great metronome for the defense, he's a great, you know, middle-of-the-road guy for the defense, great tackler, great, you know, middle linebacker-ish in this Vanjosef system. You need to find playmakers on this team. And we saw Byron Murphy on Monday night started to show flashes that he could be a guy. And we've seen ups and downs from him throughout, you know, his from the beginning of his rookie year last year to now. When you bring in guys like Drake Kirkpatrick and Prince Amukamara, guys like this that are adults in the room, the veterans, you need the young guys that are going to lead this team on the defense into the future. And why not Jalen Thompson? You know, there's open auditions. You just need to show competency and an ability to make plays, and you will have a home on the Arizona Cardinals defense for the future. We just need to see what guys are going to step up. And Jalen, why not at this point? Why not have him be the guy?
Alex Clancy at Clancy's Corner on Twitter. That's Alex. It's me, Bo Brock. Give me a follow on Twitter as well, at Bob Brack, at Locked On AZ Cards. We get into a full prediction mode. Plus, we pick our offensive and defensive players of the game. Could Jalen Thompson make that big of an impact come Sunday? We'll get into it. So before the Monday night football game, we had made our predictions. Offensive player of the game, I had said Christian Kirk. He had two touchdowns. I had already mentioned you had Kenyon Drake. He had two touchdowns, 164 yards on the ground. Also, we looked at the defensive side of the football. I had said Devon Kennard. Not that big of a game for the Arizona Cardinals. Now, did you say, you said Buda Baker, and you also predicted, Alex, his first interception. So you were, as far as looking in the crystal ball, seeing it a lot clearer than I was. But 3 out of 4 ain't bad. As we try to predict week 7 against the Seahawks.
Yeah, the great equalizer, though, was that I picked the Cardinals to lose that game 34-24, I believe, and you had them winning. So
I did have them winning, but a closer margin than what the actual score was, and everybody was wrong about how bad Andy Dalton is.
Yeah, especially two of my fantasy teams.
Oh, man, that is just that's too bad.
Selfish plug right there.
All right, let's get into it. As far as this game goes, the 5-0 Seahawks taking on the 4-2 Arizona Cardinals. Their final game before their bye week, and then they'll take on Tua and the Miami Dolphins in week 9. Arizona Cardinals right now, you look at them, they've got they're averaging 25, almost 26 points per game. They're only giving up, what is it, around... What is it, 18 points per game, you were telling me?
18.7. They give up 10 points. Or yeah, 18.7.
18.7, which is still, I can't believe how, you know, I knew they were doing better than last year. I just didn't know that they were as good as where they are statistically. How do you see this playing out? I mean, are we going to see more of this defense that's only surrendered 20 points in the last 2 weeks? Is it going to be some humble pie? What do you think?
This game is a nervous game because the over under right now is 56.
Wow,
that's a lot of points. I think this is going to hit the over. Like, I think this is going to be an absolute shootout. I've been on Team Hammer the under for the majority of the Cardinals games this year, and I think that this is going to be who has the ball last. And this is going to be the coming out party for Kyler Murray against the team that, even though their defense is bad, they still have more playmakers on this defense than I think all of the teams the Cardinals have played so far. I think that's safe to say. When you have Bobby Wagner and Jamal Adams and KJ Wright on the same team, I think that's a three-headed monster that the Cardinals haven't seen yet, regardless of how many yards this team collectively gives up. I think that this is going to be the coming out party for Kyler Murray. Like, the true 300 plus yards, 4 touchdowns. We're going to see something we haven't seen from Kyler yet. And I think it comes out on Sunday. I don't think the Cardinals are ready to win this yet, though. I think it's going to be another Russell Wilson crushing blow, 31-28 Seattle.
38-28? Is that what you said?
31-28.
31-28. Okay, so the Seahawks right now at 3.5 don't cover that. They you survive by the hook if you take the Cardinals plus 3.5. But yeah, for whatever reason, I feel like I get a dose of reality, because when you start to look at teams, you kind of get enamored by some of their star power, but then you just look at the numbers, and this defense just tells me, yeah, they've got Jamal Adams and they've got Bobby Wagner, but outside of that, Shaq Griffin also, they're not a cohesive unit. They're not slowing things down. They haven't slowed anybody down the entire season. I mean, even, you know, a guy in Kirk Cousins had some success against the Seahawks defense, and he's been playing terribly all season. Back to your fantasy football team, not to throw salt in that one. But I think that the Arizona Cardinals, for the first time, have an edge in playing at home at State Farm Stadium. There's going to be 1,200 fans in the stadium, so that's not going to play a role. But, you know, Russell Wilson at 6-1-1 since being drafted out of Wisconsin. I just think that the stars are aligning for a good performance from this Arizona Cardinals team, and that this defense is going to be able to slow down a Seahawks offense that has some inflated numbers playing against bad teams. And the Cardinals are getting healthy enough and strong enough and playing at a high enough level on defense to where they're going to be able to pull one out at home, and they're going to be able to go into their bye week and cut into that lead against the Seahawks as far as the NFC West is concerned and match them with their fifth win of the season. I just think it's going to happen this week. I think that they're into changing the narrative around them. That unique offseason was so odd, and that the Cardinals are starting to find their swagger a little bit here in week 7 of the NFL season. But, you know, Russell Wilson is good enough, and they have enough pieces to where they can make me look like a fool and eat crow come Monday.
Yeah, this is another one of those where we just don't, like, you know, we could come on here and say, oh, this is exactly what's going to happen. Nobody knows what the hell is going to happen.
Right.
In Dallas, both of us were surprised with the outcome. That's fair to say, right?
Yes.
I mean, obviously you can't, there's no metric for Ezekiel Elliott fumbling twice in three carries or twice in two carries, whatever it was for him. This is the, like, I said this last week before Monday Night Football. That was the litmus test for the defense to see if they were competent, if they were capable of overpowering a porous offensive line and a backup quarterback starting the first game in a new system. This is going to be a true determining factor from 1 to 53 of the active game day roster. The whole Cardinals offense and defense litmus test. Can you take advantage of a defense that's giving up 471 yards per game? Can the defense get close to giving up the average of points per game that they've given up so far? Nobody's expecting them to hold the Seahawks to less than 20 points, but when it comes down to it, it really all that matters is points.
Yeah.
The Patriots, when they were great, they could give up 500 yards a game, but you're kicking field goals in the red zone. It doesn't matter how many yards we give up. It matters if it's a bend, don't break. And if the Cardinals defense doesn't break against Seattle, that's a win. Win or loss, if this defense holds up, I think it's a win for the Cardinals.
Yep, and the opposing offenses have put up 1,800 passing yards on this Seahawks defense through five games. You know, but what we saw last year was the recipe was the ground game. I mean, it was the last time they beat the Seahawks, they took, you know, they controlled the ball. Kenyon Drake had a huge game. Brett Hundley had to come in relief for Kyler Murray, who couldn't go the rest of the game in Seattle, and they just did it with, you know, playing defense, getting after Russell Wilson. And I mean, that's the one thing I'm kind of curious about. I think Kenyon Drake has to have another huge week for this Cardinals team, and that's what my offensive player of the game is going to be. And as far as, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, you got to look at guys who are going to get after the quarterback once again this week to really make things uneasy on Russell Wilson. I'm going to go with Gardeck the Barbarian.
You are?
Yeah. Is that shocking as I called for the Gardeck fan club last week?
No. I mean, I think you may be jaded at this point. There may be vested interest. But no, it's interesting, like, mine is going to be the same person for both. And let me explain. Like, this isn't exactly the rules, and I'll give an actual defensive guy.
Okay.
Kyler Murray, both.
Yeah.
For one main reason. Kyler Murray, offensively, I want to see him say, you know what, I'm here. You didn't say I could be. People are still questioning. 9 for 21. That's not going to cut it. I was one of those ones questioning. I want a massive performance from Kyler Murray, and I'm expecting it. Number two, I say the defensive player of the game is Kyler Murray, because they need to stay on the field as long as possible. Sustained drives, the way to beat Russell Wilson is to keep him off the damn field. And this is, listen, if they're going to score in 12 seconds like they did with Christian Kirk, whatever, okay? But more times than not, that's not going to be the offensive scheme for every drive. If you can keep Russell Wilson off the field, if you can win the time of possession battle, every second you're on the field gives you a better chance to win. So my actual defensive player is going to be Budda Baker, and this isn't me like cherry-picking from last week. Every week he needs to show that he's the best safety in football. And if he doesn't perform, this defense is going to fold. At least how it's constructed right now with Chandler Jones out, Patrick Peterson not playing like he used to, and Jalen Thompson just getting back from injury. I think Kyler Murray is both going to be the offensive player and defensive player of the game for the Cardinals.
I like it. And you know what? If Kyler gets going, and I got to imagine after kind of two quiet weeks from DeAndre Nook Hopkins, that could be a recipe for the Arizona, that duo to kind of have a big game against Seattle, a guy we haven't said his name too often, and he's too good. He's got to prove he's the best receiver on the field come Sunday. It's not a second-year player in DK Metcalf, and maybe come to the aid of Andy Isabella come... maybe Andy Isabella shows up on Sunday. Who knows? But we hope you guys have an awesome time watching this game on Sunday. I hope it's a great contest. Not expecting, you know, a repeat from Monday night. Hopefully, maybe a closer game, and we'll see who comes out on top and gets the edge as far as the NFC West concerned. We'll have a full recap. Might even drop it Sunday night, but it will be there Monday morning for you, wherever you subscribe to the podcast. It's the Locked On Cardinals podcast, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Next week's the bye week. We're going to get in some trade rumors. There's already been some movement around the NFL where a couple teams already got richer in the Ravens. They added a pass rusher, Dez Bryant. He's on the Ravens as well as far as their practice squad. Antonio Brown, there's rumors around Seattle that AB could be coming to the Seattle. So the Arizona Cardinals, they absolutely have to be proactive with this. We get into those conversations next week along with the recap on Monday. For Alex, it's Bo. Give us a follow on Twitter at Bob Rack, at Clancy's Corner. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games.